going. This is a Friday, June 7th, 2013, Joint Emergency Communication Center Policy Board meeting. That's a mouthful. And it looks like we have Bill Hoft here for Coralville, and we don't have a representative for the county other than Lonnie. Other than. So we're missing one. Okay, item two is action to approve the minutes of the March 22nd Policy Board meeting. Does anybody have any changes, additions, corrections? Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
Emergency management.
Moved by Dave.
Second.
Second by Lonnie. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion passes. Item three is comments from the public, and I don't really see much in the way of comments from the public, except we do have Brandon here. You can introduce me.
Yeah. This is Brandon Siggins. He's the new dispatch supervisor. He started his role on April 22nd. He was promoted within, so he's got around 9 years of service already in Johnson County. Worked previously for the city of Iowa City before the merger, coming out here to Jack. So we welcome Brandon. He's been a great addition and already moved a lot of things forward in a couple of months. So looking forward to what has yet to come.
Okay, welcome, Brandon. All right, we'll move on to item four, Executive Director's Report and Update. Tom?
Had a lengthy one in here, so I'll try to summarize it quick. Over the past couple of months, first thing, beginning of April, Nick and I went to the Iowa APCO conference, which is the annual Public Safety Communications conference, and it's held in Des Moines. And the featured speaker this year was from Newtown, Connecticut. The dispatch supervisor that worked the day of the Sandy Hook school shooting. So she shared her experience with that and also some takeaways and her policy on active shooters. And the following week, EMA had hosted the ALICE training here, and I attended that as well. So we saw both perspectives from the responder side and the communication side in an active shooter incident, which has then further helped us to update our active shooter policy here in response to those type of incidents. So pretty good sets of training there back to back at a good timing so you could hear both sides and keep it all fresh. On April 10th, the JEC was recognized by the Eastern Iowa Green Building Council along with the Corridor Business Journal for their LEED certification that they obtained in 2012. I attended that and accepted that award on JEX's behalf, so they presented us with a nice certificate. We also had the Iowa City Fire Department's accreditation audit in April, and we participated in that, and as a result of that, at the end, they were given a positive recommendation from the Reaccreditation Council, and with a few recommendations for us in the future that they're discussed with us that we could just make some changes to help improve things and make things better. Also during the month of April, we had verified along with Raycom some damage that had occurred to some equipment of ours on a tower site that was a co-located site. The contractor was working for another company who had equipment on the tower. While they were climbing the tower, replacing that equipment above ours, they damaged ours. And so we contacted that vendor and their insurance company, and they did not dispute the claim, and we are scheduled to have the work repaired on June 12th. So we were able to identify that. And
would they realize that they damaged it when they're up there working?
Yeah, the comment was based on the photos and the damage that they should have known they'd done that.
What was damaged?
It was a feed horn on a microwave dish was bent. Their cable, their guide cables they used to secure to the tower, wrapped around the feed horn and actually pulled and bent.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they would have known that they did it when they were hooked around, when they were wrapped around.
It was somewhere at Climb the Tower.
Yeah. Also, we entered into a new service agreement with WINS, which is the Wireless Emergency Notification System. It will replace Code Red here, and along with that service, we included other agencies under our contract to help reduce our future costs. We went in, Iowa County went in with us on it, some agencies in Cedar, the Mercy Hospital, the City of North Liberty continued their membership to it with us, and a couple of others, and that'll help bring our costs down, and so we could share that, but also provide the service to many others. Linn County also partnered with it as well, and took a portion, but they agreed into their own contract, but we share the service. In May we had our IPERS compliance audit. They hold these about every 3 years, and this was JEC's first, and there was no issues identified. So between our accountant and JEC, we have been processing the IPERS contribution payments appropriately. So that was good, and they will be back in 3 years. And then 2 weeks ago, now around May 23rd, we had an opportunity, we met with the Deputy Director of Emergency Medical Services from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. He was here as a visit, coordinated with the University of Iowa and the United States State Department to learn more about emergency medical services and 911 communications in the states. And so since it was coordinated through the university, they had him attend several entities here, but also included us in that visit since we take the 911 calls and we do emergency medical dispatching, which is pre-arrival instructions that the dispatchers give before responders arrive. They were very interested in that program. He shared a little bit about how things go in Mongolia, and then we shared a little bit about how 911 services work and such here in the States, in Johnson County particularly. We gave him a tour of the center, and they were very impressed, and he was going to be attending four other locations around the country before heading back. Last thing to provide update on is we received our insurance renewal rates for health benefits, dental, and such in May. And the good news was for our dental insurance, our rates stayed the same, but we did finally see an increase in health insurance by 10.04%, which we had not had a significant increase since JEC had started, but we did budget for a 15% increase for next year, so we fell within those lines. And there were no changes to long-term disability or vision plans because those are under contract through 2014. So those are kind of a quick summary of the last couple of months, things that have been going on here. And see if anybody has any other questions.
Any questions for Tom?
Tom, last week in between flood stuff, I had a little quote free time. And so I was job shadowing in dispatch for a while. Which I want to thank everyone. It was very enlightening to spend some time with him. But in the middle of that, two screens go completely blank, and they said it's happening every day, and it's kind of disruptive if they're in the middle of a call. I slightly talked to you about that, and I would like to know why that's happening and what we can do to fix it.
I did speak. Nick's been primarily working on that. I don't know if you want to comment or... You have an update
with some of the flood-related stuff. I haven't had a chance to.
Yeah, we've
dedicate a lot of time.
Gotten back.
It is on my list to get fixed.
Okay, thank you.
And it is like you saw the experience quick and.
So it's a software issue.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Is it hardware or software issue, or is
it
a
it's been happening for a while.
Upgrade
one.
Issue.
You don't think it's yeah. either one?
I don't know. If
no,
it's probably
one.
All right.
Yeah, we.
But it's not related to any console upgrades that Raycom's in.
Not separate no. system.
No, it's not all of the computers. I think it's one or two that it's happening to.
But as you can imagine, when you're dispatching and that's your main screens and it goes blank, there's a little disconcerting feel. It came back up, but...
How long was it off? Just a second?
You know, I didn't notice it when it went down, and then I'm like, your screens are blank. Oh, yeah, that's been happening. They know about it, but they came back on
It's so fast.
I've got one question for you. I mean, obviously with the flood events and what have you, is there anything you want to update everybody about any of that? And if things been running smoothly, well, other than the glitches, obviously.
Yeah, we've been given a daily report. We have not seen, I don't think, any... I think actually things have probably run better in this environment, wouldn't you say, Brandon, than... previous, with kind of both being the same building. We've been keeping them updated daily. They get a lot of the communications passed down immediately. We haven't really experienced a significant spike. We had a first couple of days were probably the busiest, and then we've kind of, as activities declined, we've seen the same. But it hasn't been anything that...
I want to talk about the comp plan, the ATEC.
The center. Been able to handle. One thing we were able to do is bring in the Cedar Rapids folks for their boat, the USAR SWIFT team coming down. We patched ATAC 91, which is a federal mutual aid channel, into our system, into Event 5, so that all the responders, the local and the outside agency, could talk to each other. So just an example of how we can bring in an outside agency and communicate on our, if you want to call it the proprietary, but our 800 megahertz side. We have other conventional ways to do that. And so we've tested that previously, but again, another good use for that system being installed, because we've used it for football games. This was another instance. So we've continued to make use of it.
And
it worked good. No complaints.
It was a shining star example of why we're switching from Code Red on our reverse system to the WENS. I mean, Nick and I and several others just really cringed when we were trying to do reverse messaging with that. It was taking an inordinate amount of time. And the new WENS thing, she'd been in, what, a week prior, Nick? Dana? Was it the week before?
The
EOC was open, wasn't it?
Yeah, we had just activated.
Yeah, and so she was doing an administrator training, and we were trying to get up speed on that. So it'll be a welcome relief to have the new system up.
Well, I think one of the other things that points out, though, is it goes back. It's just another mini reason why we did all of this and the way we did it. You're not going to read that in the paper. People, the public, are not going to see it. They're not going to hear about it. They're not going to understand it. But we know, I mean, it's just another test that if we have a huge event, we know our system is capable of having the flexibility of bringing in outside people and having the communications work if we have a big event.
Yeah, and it's done everything it was designed to do.
Exactly. So it's just, you know, I think it's just another little pat on the back for
the JIT next door with the press briefings afterwards, the EOC, the communications, the ability to bring in outside non-proprietary radio systems. I mean, all that's worked.
I have to say, from my perspective as an old-timer in law enforcement, if you wanted to communicate that way when I was on, it was cans and a string. I mean, there was no way. So this really fascinates me to hear that it's, you know, however many buttons you push or whatever you have to connect and bang, you're speaking federal law enforcement. That's fascinating. That's great. I think it's a great thing.
I think we all realize, too, that there are some human error things that do happen. But for the most part, it sounds like you guys that are here on a daily basis are comfortable, happy with what went on.
Barry?
Yeah. Tom, a couple weeks ago, or months ago, we had that unexplained power failure that all the systems failed, and they were flying in parts, and I'm just not sure we've totally talked about your comfort level now, where we stand in a power failure.
That was all repaired. The main key was one of the wires on the capacitor had burned off, so it had actually fried off and just put the other one into a bypass state. So when the UPS sensed a surge in the commercial power to the building, it closed because it was already in its second level of failsafe. We've worked with the vendor. We're in the process of getting a solution set up. They don't have one canned that they offer, so we're working on one, but that was an internal wire.
You told us at the time that they said it couldn't warn you that it would have maintenance trouble.
And that's what.
And then the other guy said, oh yeah, we can make it warn you.
We've verified all that. The guy that said it can't warn us was correct. So we that's why we're having to implement another CIPR system now to monitor that.
So we will be warned.
Yeah, it's just
Right now we're not being
from the
warned
manufacturer.
Having maintenance trouble, right?
Yeah, we just go down and check it.
Okay.
Yep. But they did a complete rebuild basically on
that
thing. For the folks that weren't here, I mean, you might want to explain, it was the UPS, the interruptible power supplies, and back.
Yeah, in the
that
way
kind of a catastrophic failure.
The way they're configured, if one goes bad, the other one. So if one goes into a bypass state, which means it's in a protected state, it opens up into a bypass state. It's still protecting, but it's letting commercial power through. If it seeks any interruption from commercial power at all, it will close. That way, that commercial power has no ability to damage equipment behind it. At the same time, the second one closes as well, because they both do everything together in parallel. And when that first one had that capacitor fry and went into that bypass state, the other one instantly did that. As soon as it sought a spike or surge from commercial power, they both closed. And so, which that resulted in no power being let through behind the UPS to power the equipment here. So then, of course, the backup center took over radio communications, and the phones were automatically rerouted, and we took those places. So we didn't really have any, there was no loss of real interruption to service in county, because the backups took in place. But, of course, we'd like this center to be a primary before we had to rely on any of those resources. So,
but it worked the way it was supposed to work.
It did. So it just is about a 7-minute period where that was down.
So we had a failure that shouldn't have occurred.
Yeah.
And it did.
Yeah.
But the system appeared to work correctly.
Yeah. Right. The system did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, about every one of the fail safes has been tested so far.
Yeah, yeah, we
have been tested. Yeah. Not one you wanted to do.
It's not good you test them in the
first 3 years.
So it seems like
when
the first one goes to the bypass, it ought to be able to tell you. So that's what you're trying
correct.
To work on?
Yes.
Bit of a learning curve here.
Make sure you patent whatever you figure out that makes that happen.
Yeah, it won't be a patent. I'm just going to take something that they can't do and take another piece of software and make it do it. So it's common.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any other questions for Tom on his report? Okay, we'll move on to item 5, which is a discussion item, the revised emergency communication services agreement. You want to?
Yeah, I'll start with it. Jeff is obviously going to speak to a good portion of this. He included an executive summary in your report, and I also included a summary in mine for agenda item 6, and what I was just repasting in there was the points that this board wanted to see incorporated into the agreements going forward, whereas we had changed the policy on purchasing the radios and the agencies would purchase their own, and then after 3 years, JEXA would maintain that, would take over then that maintenance. And also the other goal we're trying to do is combine these into one agreement, whether this one is large now. We're trying to take them both, and like he's got them broken out within the same agreement as public safety, non-public safety, so we can get down to one kind of revised agreement. And in his summary, he noted in there the points in which we're trying to achieve here with getting the correct language worded. We did include the track changes copy in here, starting on page 21. For any of you that have the PDF file open, it should be page 21 in your file. That's kind of where the language changes, where we're showing where they took place. And I'll kind of let Jeff speak. And if this is kind of a working document, we just kind of got this wrapped up this week before the meeting. So there may be a few other changes before we bring it back for final approval. But if anybody had any questions in its current form, we're open to answer those or get them clarified before I bring it back to you in a final form for approval.
What I did was take the work from the subcommittee to identify 5 or 6 different points that you wanted changed in the agreement, tried to change those. The significant points were identified in the executive summary, but primarily that for new radios, those will be on the public safety agency, that they'll be responsible for CAD and ABL and maintenance for the first 36 months of new radios, and then JEXA will pick up the maintenance cost after 36 months, and then JEXA will pick up the CAD and ABL for law enforcement only after 36 months. That's probably the most significant change. Otherwise, to the extent that there are other changes that this group wants to make, we'll certainly make those, but that was, I guess, the primary change that we focused on.
One question that we did, Jeff and I did discuss, was purchasing for other agencies, the CAD and AVL example. Do we want to leave it where Jack will purchase for another agency and bill it, or should we word it kind of like we've been doing business today, where if another agency purchases it, they're always given Jack's contracted price and let them make their own purchasing arrangement versus Jack trying to float that initial bill for an all other agency that's not really part of that. That was one of the things that initially we did put in there, but as Jeff and I got talking, it might be something good that right now anybody that purchases through us that's part of our system or will be using our system, they're given that contracted price, but should they just go ahead and pay it or should Jack pay it up front for an all other, not a member entity?
I think when the committee met, we were not certain whether people would get Jack's price unless you bought it directly.
Yeah.
If they'll honor that contract, then I think it's, I mean, my opinion, it's cleaner for them to pay for it, and then we don't have to be responsible for
putting it. We don't have to be the bank.
I think we just didn't know that when we were coming up with it.
And we haven't had, there's only three vendors this would affect, and none of them have been opposed, and in fact have sold things to the other agencies directly. And most of the time it's written in the way the contract is initially at the radios. It has to be the flat. This discount will be given as long as it's within this contracted period of time.
I, for one, think that's a good change. I mean, we'd rather not be the bank.
Yeah. And that was for the all other category. Are you okay with that too, Jeff?
I'm fine either way. Okay. There's a... It's not a legal issue. I mean, it's just reimbursement or make the agency pay direct.
So we'll know. We can know.
And that'll be one change that we go back and make. It's currently is drafted as a reimbursement system. We can go back and we can change that to a direct payment system.
I think, you know, we can stick with the reimbursement for the member entities if that's still the case, if the board wishes to keep it that for the public safety, or we can change it that too, but more than anything was the all other, which may be people that haven't had it before.
Who are the all others?
I'm happy to follow your recommendations.
Well, the all others would be...
name specific.
Like I would go, if any of the rural fire started to do it, I would say they would be an all other, because they had never had it before, versus like an entity where if Iowa City just adds a car, you know, where we buy it up front, but then they reimburse us, and then we take over that maintenance.
I think you're creating a lot of extra work for yourself. I mean, it's a lot cleaner just to have them
I
do
do
it.
I do too.
Then we're not bankrolling them.
I agree.
Okay. So we'll just offer it at the contracted price, and the agencies will work out their own.
Janelle's exactly right. I think the reason was we just didn't know at that time.
And our vendors have all been agreed to offer that. So,
if I mean, obviously we can't vote on this because changes are still being made, but we're basically operating under this for the new fiscal year, right? We're not buying any other radios for anyone.
Yeah, because you guys did vote on the decision to make everyone approve back at the budget time, so everybody's well aware of that decision. This would just be finally cleaning up the agreement, getting it all kind of clean in one document. Instead of I have multiple now, I kind of pass around if you're this or if you're non-member. Now I can pass out one. It'll be amended. It'll include all the updated changes. And it's just giving us a chance to revise about a three-year-old document almost at this point.
We sent this document originally out at the same time the radios went out.
Yeah. And there was a lot of changes there that, you know, we got feedback on at the time as agencies were going through to approve them. And now we're just trying to take all those and clean this up.
Okay, I see by the nods of heads the kind of a consensus to make that change and keep moving ahead. Anything else on that then?
I don't have anything else. By our next meeting, I hope to finally have the final version brought in front of everyone we can for approval.
Okay, sounds good. Move on to item 6, which is also a discussion item, the Jack Road sign.
Yeah, we're able to make some headway on this between the last meeting. I included in your packet an example of a sign that the Iowa City Traffic Department provided us, something like an example of that they could put together with the arrow on it. It would be a blue and white sign. It's the only type of signs that they are eligible to put up for the markings and such. but at least with the arrow and kind of a more spelled out sign. That was just a draft they put together. It can be any size. They can put that in the right-of-way. If you see the photo that I included in your packet from Iowa City, and there's the kind of red lines, that's the right-of-way there, and we'd have to put anything behind those red lines. So as you can see, the red line is pretty far back off the road. So any large kind of decorative sign we try to put up, there's a tree that hangs behind that split rail fence, and this line is even behind Chatham Oak split rail fence. So pretty difficult to see from the road. So we may have to go back to an idea like this sign that would be allowed in the right-of-way. The city would provide that for us, and we just have to let them know what we want. So if there's no objections on that, that's kind of how we can move forward at a very cost-effective rate, get a sign that would be as close to the road and visible as possible. It won't be flashy or anything, blue background, the reflective lettering. But as you can see, we can put the address and spell out the name so people can see, versus right now it just says JECCEMA, and it's kind of right there. But at least this way, we can get an arrow on it, get people in here a little better. So
two-sided?
They would put one on each side of the road.
It is hard to find the driveway. I mean, you get a lot of people coming in and out of here. They need to know where to turn.
Yeah, and we can work with Chatham Oaks on something further back, so once they turn into the driveway.
Well, we've got that one that's on that very first telephone pole with an arrow saying go on back. But I like this, personally. I mean, it doesn't need to be fancy.
John Lundell wouldn't like it, but
well,
he wanted a nice sign. But I knew that was going to be a problem because your nice sign wouldn't be visible, period.
And I shared it with him, and you know, his comment was, if that's what it has to be, I mean, he liked the price tag. I mean,
which is Iowa City will do it. Was that it?
So anyway, this was an idea. We can, you know, add different language on here. I mean, you know, because I'm sure Dave probably would want something under there as well.
No,
actually,
I don't
want significant. So
I like hidden in plain view. No,
the
JCC.
This,
yeah, whatever.
It's being recorded, so we got you.
This dash EMA was they threw that on there.
I think there's nothing wrong with this.
Okay.
That's all we're looking for.
That can come off
a simple
and just leave
sign
the address.
I would just leave it exactly as shown, Tom.
Okay.
If there's anything wrong with it.
Maybe you can buy a second one to be internal.
Farther back
drives.
On the drive.
We just got to get, and they did say they would take the one off the pole and put it on a regular sign. We got problems. People don't, the semi-drivers don't even read the sign we put up on the pole now. It says, do not go past this point without calling. I mean, they still drive in here and wonder why they can't get out.
And they drive like race car drivers.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have on the sign. I just wanted to share that with you, and if anybody had any comments or go back to the drawing board, but it sounds like we'll...
Looks like it moves forward with that. Heads nodding again. So
okay,
John Lundell's head is doing this.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, we'll move on to other business, and I have one quick thing. We still owe Tom his evaluation, and with things being pretty busy, we'll have to coordinate that whenever you let us know. It's
should start settling down next week.
Okay, so we'll get back on that task, and then we'll beat you up pretty good, and away we go. Anybody else have any other business? It's pretty quiet. Seeing none, I guess if we have a motion to adjourn.
Next meeting.
Moved by Susan.
Next meeting will be September. I should start putting these on the bottom of the. Next meeting will be September 27th, 7:30 a.m.
Do we have a second on the adjournment?
Sure.
Second by Janelle. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Thank you all.
You know, we don't vote on adjournment.
We always do, so it's just
you guys
don't? So we'll adjourn.
You don't know the famous
story.
Am I still being recorded?
Janelle, yes.
Famous story when Rod got mad at Slocket one day and just...
Maybe we should turn this off.
He said he just did it.
No, it's still going.
Turn that